Before I actually get onto my message, there was something I just wanted to encourage people with. You know, nobody's perfect. I don't know if you've discovered that yet, but God's plan for our life takes into account the fact that we're going to mess it up every once in a while. Otherwise, like, if he had a perfect plan for perfect people, well, no one would get the job done. No one would get on the track and finish their course, because we're not perfect. You know, we encounter fear. We have our own addictions and issues and problems and weaknesses and psychological dilemmas from time to time, which prevent us from, you know, doing with excellence things that we've committed ourselves to. And then there's the body. Esther Summerall used to say, you know, Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. If your body can't go, you can't go. So you get to my age and you remember, you know, this is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You need to look after it. Give it an oil and grease every once in a while, because the engine just won't go without some attention. Forever, you know. When you're young, you lift things, you throw things around, and you abuse your body, and you just don't realize that later on in life, you don't have quite the same freedom and liberty to do that. So, what am I saying? I'm saying, give yourself a little bit of grace, extend yourself a little bit of mercy, and know that grace is what gets us back on track. Grace is what enables us to reconnect with God at the point where we went wrong and still be able to do what God has called us to do. Now, I don't recommend that you live a life like Samson. He was a man who was called, appointed, and anointed with a tremendous gift to deliver Israel. And he squandered his life on harlots and playing the fool. And then we know Delilah eventually, you know, cut his hair off and the Philistines put his eyes out. And he ended up serving the Philistines, just pushing a wheel, grinding grain. This was a man who God had called to deliver Israel, and he was in bondage. But you know, in his latter years, his hair started to grow again, and he repented and says, God, just give me one more shot at it. And he put his arms between the two pillars, and he brought down the whole temple and killed every Philistine general in that place. And the Bible says that he did more damage to the Philistines in that one event than he did in the rest of his whole life. I love that about God. And I'm not saying we should squander our life, but I'm saying that God, even in the last mile, can pick you up and put you on track and get you to a place where you can powerfully serve God, where you can make a difference for the kingdom. And I don't know whether I'm trying to encourage myself or not at the moment, but I just felt that maybe there's some of you out there. You know, if you're young, block your ears. You don't need to hear this, because you should be running your race, you know, with a fervency, with a passion, with a single-mindedness. Don't waste your life. Remember the Lord your God in the days of your youth, the Bible says. See, most people remember God when they're old and dying. No, remember God when you're young. If you're a young person this morning, I'm talking to you. This is your bit. Remember God when you're young. Yeah. I did, and I'm glad I did. They laughed at me at school because I was a Christian. There was only two of us in class who were Christians, and they laughed at us. But I was head boy, and my friend, who was also a Christian, was ducks. Christians aren't idiots. They're the cream of the crop. They're the head and not the tail. And they'll laugh at you for the decisions that you make. But you hold your course. You stay true. You got it, young people? Stay true. Remember God when you're young. Yes. All right. Now for all you golden old uns. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, off you go, mate, I got a job for you. But Jonah arose to flee from the presence of the Lord. You know, if you're out of that place of God's calling, you will feel the loss of God's presence around your life. Sometimes it just pays to ask yourself, you know, God, where are you? And if I don't feel close, the bumper sticker says, if you don't feel close to God, guess who moved? And, you know, if you're aware of a feeling of, gee, I just don't feel like I'm really connected to God these days, and ask yourself if you're really plugged into his calling and his purpose on your life. Because, like, you know, when I get up to a piano and play a song, or I write a song, I'm more aware of God's presence there than I am at any other time or any other place. So it's not about preaching. It's not about being the guy up the front. It's about finding your place in God. For you, it might be looking after, you know, a group at school, or it might be serving in a soup kitchen, or it might be serving somewhere else. It might be in the area of finance. It might be, I don't know, you know, it's like, you know, only you will know. Who knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man that's in him? You know, you will know what God's called you to do. And that's the thing that frightens us the most. Sometimes it's the last thing we do. I wonder why that is. But there should be a presence around your life. We call our church Pursuit of His Presence, because we recognize that that is really important. Moses said, if I go, will you go? Because if you're not coming with me, I'm not going. There's a lot of things we do without God. But if we were to be sensitive to what he's doing, Jesus said, I only do that which I see my Father doing. I only say that which I hear my Father say. That's why everything that he did and everything that he said was so powerful. They said, gosh, no man speaks like this man. The Bible says we'll give account for every idle word we speak. We just open our mouth and shoot off. I'm not saying it to condemn anybody. I'm just saying we have an incredible power in our mouth for good or for evil. And if we were listening to the Father, sometimes we just say, God, are you saying that or am I saying that? God, are you doing that or am I just doing that all by myself? Jesus said, I only do that which I see my Father do. And that's why he carried such a presence. And sometimes we do things that God hasn't asked us to do, and we're striving, we're banging our heads against a brick wall, everything turns to custard, and it's no wonder because God's not in it. So we need to walk with God. He says, I'll be your God and you'll be my people. I will live in them and I will walk in them. So it's a tremendous privilege to walk with God and to just feel, this is the hand of God. This is the voice of God. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. What an amazing thing. We are an extension of the Godhead. I know that sounds like heresy to some people, but how else do you explain having the Holy Spirit in you? Is the Holy Spirit part of the Godhead? Yes or no? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And yet they that are joined to the Lord are one spirit. That means you're connected to the Godhead. This is awesome stuff. So God wants to live through us and be God through us, and he wants us to be his hands and his feet and his voice in the earth. But sometimes, you know, we just still want to do our own thing. That's why I wrote that song. I don't want to do my own thing today. I don't want to do what I want to do. I want to follow your path today. I want to be with you. Just being with God. Just being. We've got to be before we can ever do. Most of the church is busy doing instead of being. And I have fallen to that trap. And you know, to be honest, most of my life has been without the presence of the Lord. And I regret that. And you know, however much time I've got left, I want to be before I do. And I want to be in His presence before I can go out from His presence. Well, you take His presence with you, but you know what I'm saying. You've got to go in before you can go out. And everything then will be done in the power of the Spirit. That's my challenge for this year, is to not spend so much time building wood, hay, stubble, but coming from a place of His presence, knowing that whatever I do will last for eternity. So it's good at the start of every year to just, you know, assess who you are, what you're going to be doing. But I want to encourage you this morning that you can reconnect with the presence of the Lord. If you, like Jonah, have run from the presence of the Lord, what has God asked you to do? What? You see, it might not be a deliberate running away, but if you're not doing what God's called you to do, then there's a sense where you're leaving the presence of the Lord. Does that make sense? Now, you're not sort of actively resisting God, but are you proactively pursuing what He's called you to do? Do you know what He's called you to do? Maybe we just need to be still long enough to hear the still small voice. Because there's a still small voice. And you won't hear it unless you're still. So I encourage people at the beginning of every year to spend a little bit of time just sitting down, doing nothing, navel gazing. He's in there. He'll talk to you if you quiet in your spirit long enough. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And you see in verse 3, he found a ship, paid a fare to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind. And we know the story. The captain says, what are you doing fast asleep down the bottom of the boat, Jonah? Call on your God like everybody else. And Jonah got the short stick. So, you know, they asked him some questions. And in verse 10, the men knew that he'd fled from the presence of the Lord. And so Jonah says to them, pick me up, throw me into the sea, and then everything will be okay. The men didn't want to do that, so they rowed hard, and they gave up, and they chucked him overboard. Verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish. Say, the Lord had prepared. Oh, I love this. Jonah's trying to get away from God. So God prepares a great fish. Verse 10, the Lord spoke to the fish. After Jonah repented, he decided living in the belly of a whale wasn't a good idea. Actually, it wasn't a whale, it just is a great fish. So the Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. There's good vomit and there's bad vomit. When God vomits, it's good vomit. Jonah was in a predicament. And God spat him out onto the beach. And you know, God will go before you. Doesn't matter where you are. If you look down, this guy was in a bad place. And he says, I've been cast out of your sight. All the floods, billows, waves have gone over me. Yet I'll look again to your holy temple. Weeds were wrapped around my head. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains and so on. You know, he was in a difficult... You just think about that. I mean, there's acid down there. You know, when he came out, he was probably fairly...
He was reduced.
Half digested, you know. Not in a good place. But God had mercy on them and spat them out. And every once in a while I say, God, spit me out somewhere. I don't know where I am. The weeds are wrapped around my head. I'm so confused. I've got all these thoughts. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm confused. Spit me out on a beach somewhere. Have mercy on the man. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. And of course we know the end of the story. They repent. And Jonah gets upset with God because he's merciful. Now, we get upset with mercy sometimes, but when we need mercy, aren't you glad God's merciful? So, verse 5, Jonah made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. He wants to see God judge the city. He's man of God. God's man of faith and power, full of mercy and compassion, wanting to see the judgment of God. He preached they might repent, but all the time hoping that they don't. Yeah. Nice guy, this Jonah. But they do. Yeah. Verse 6, and then God prepared a plant. Say, God prepared. And made it come up over Jonah that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. Isn't that nice of God? Isn't that nice of God? He gives Jonah a second chance. Jonah, you know, gets spat up out of the whale onto the beach. God saves him. Jonah preaches the message God told him to preach. And then Jonah's sitting outside the city, above the city, watching, waiting for God's judgment to fall on the city. And it's a hot day and he's very uncomfortable. So God takes mercy on him and prepares a plant for Jonah to sit under so he's comfortable while he watches and waits for God to judge the city. But we don't want Jonah to be uncomfortable, do we, while he's watching and waiting for God to judge the city. That would never do. No, let's show Jonah some mercy. It's a very hot day. Poor fellow. He could be waiting a while. I might not judge the city. He could be waiting a long time for me to judge the city. I better prepare a plant for Jonah to sit under because it's going to be a long, hot day for this boy. So God prepares a plant. That it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. And Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as the morning dawned, the next day, God prepared a worm. Say, God prepared. God prepared a worm and took out the tree, took out the plant. And then when the plant withered, the sun arose, God prepared a vehement east wind. Say, God prepared. He does a lot of preparations, doesn't he, God? And the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. And then he wished to die. It's better for me to die than to live. God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And he says, yes, it is. I've got every right to be angry. God said, you have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left? This is babies. This is kids. 120 children who don't know the difference between their left hand and right hand. Probably several million people here. And also much livestock. And the book of Jonah finishes with these four words. And also much livestock. Interesting fellow, this God. I mean, the people were rascals and they needed to be destroyed. They deserved judgment. This is Old Testament, remember. But what do the animals do? God didn't think that was very fair. he would like to have spared Nineveh for the sake of all the animals. Don't you care about animals?
Yes.
Why? Because you're made in the image of God, and God cares about the animals. God cares. He really cares. What amazes me is how much God cared for Jonah, waiting for his judgment to fall on Nineveh. What's the point of all this? Well, I underlined in my Bible, God prepared, God prepared, God prepared, God prepared. There was a city that needed rescuing, and God prepared a preacher. The preacher didn't want to preach. He ran away from the presence of the Lord. So God prepared a storm. They threw Jonah out. Jonah repented, and God prepared a fish, which spat him on the land. And then he preached, and Jonah sat in the sun waiting for judgment, and God prepared a shade for him. And then God prepared a worm to take the shade away, and God prepared a wind to teach Jonah a lesson. What am I saying? I'm saying we have a loving Heavenly Father who cares about us, and he has a future for each one of us. And he says, take no thought for the morrow. In my Father's house are many mansions, many rooms, and I go to prepare. A place for you. And if God has a place for you in heaven, he has a place for you here. It says he's determined our borders and the boundaries of our habitation. And I know some of us move beyond our birth, our countries of birth. And that's okay, because Abraham did that. Sometimes God has us journey. But you know, wherever we go, God goes before us. He says, I will go before you, I'll go behind you. And you'll hear a voice behind you. If you're going in the wrong way, you'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And we have a loving Heavenly Father. It says, lo, there's not a word in my mouth, not a thought in my mind, not a step I have trod that you have not planned, or you have not gone before me and made a way for me. And I've had some experiences just recently. I will share this because it's a little testimony, but it's just the goodness of God. We're going up to Bethel. And I thought, well, I've always wanted to go and see Yosemite. They've got a massive national park there. And what's the name of that big rock? El Capitan and a few things like that. And I thought, well, you know, it's only a couple of hours off to the east. I'll swing by there and take a day out and just go to the park on the way up to Bethel. But we were having problems booking somewhere cheap enough. And I said to Pam, look, you know, we might have to get something like a cheap log cabin. They have these tents. And, you know, Pam's thinking bears, snakes, centipedes, crawlies, tent, no thank you. And I'm thinking, little Boy Scout hasn't grown up yet. Yes, give me bears, snakes. So anyway, we're looking for all these places, but they're like way too expensive. You know, there's no way I can justify spending that sort of money. So anyway, Pam comes across Camp Curry, which has got these tents and log cabins in it. And she's looking at it. And she says, you know, the log cabins don't look too bad. Maybe we could, because they're like right in the park. And so I thought, well, okay. And it was starting to bother me a bit. And I said, you know, God, we really need some help here. You know, it's like planning a trip like this is just so time consuming, and I've got other things to do, and just a weight on my mind, weeds wrapped around my head. You ever felt like you had weeds wrapped around your head in the belly of a whale and you don't know what to do? Well, I arrive at school and I was doing day relief. This is last week. And I walk into the science staff room. I was teaching science that day and it was full. There was no room in the inn. I couldn't sit anywhere around the big table. So I went next door to the social sciences department, geography, all that kind of stuff. And there, right in the middle of the table, was this little postcard with El Capitan on it. And it was smack bang, you know, in the middle of the table, and it was Yosemite National Park. And I thought, well, what a hoot. What's this doing here? I picked it up, turned it over, and it was posted in September of last year to the Avondale College staff room. And one of the staff members had a holiday and had gone to Yosemite in September and had sent a postcard from Yosemite in September. And the postcard was still on the table. And we're talking like 6 months. And I pick it up and I turn it over and she says, I'm staying in Camp Curry. And it's fantastic. And the tents aren't really like tents at all. They're like little log cabins, but they're just made of canvas. And so I gasp with exclamation. I say, oh, gosh, who sent this? And the lady at the opposite end of the table said, I did. I'm talking to the person who sent the postcard 6 months ago. I said, you stayed at Camp Curry. And she said, yes. I says, tell me all about it. What are the tents like? My wife hates tenting. Will she be all right if she goes into a tent? Yes, it's the bears. Well, I'm sorry, I can't do anything about the bears. If you want to hear my sermon, you'll have to come back next week because I'm not going to get through my sermon. I'm telling stories this morning, and that's quite cool because that's what Jesus did. He told lots of stories. People found them far more interesting. I mean, the point is you, if you can get a point across, it's worth telling a story because people don't forget stories. It is. It's very good. Thank you. And so she said, oh, no, she said, it's fine. She says, they're not like real tents. They're not like tent tents. They're more like log cabins. They've got a wooden floor. They've got a door. They've got heating. They've got lighting. You have to walk a little bit to the ablutions block, you know, and as long as you look out for bears on the way, you'll be all right. So she said, no, your wife will be fine. She'll love it. So I ran home as fast as I could in my car. I said, Pam, guess what happened to me today? God went before us. God prepared a tent cabin at Curry Park for us. And it's okay, because we were really having trouble making this booking. So I described it to her, and we went online, we found the tent cabin, and we booked it. And it was one of the last ones available. And she said to me, you're going to have to hurry. She said, they go really quickly. I'll be surprised if there's any left. So we booked it on the day. And I thought about it, you know. Remember Des Pa and his wife lost a little jar, a little vase that had this cute little spider in it that could come out and then disappear and come out and disappear. And it was broken, and she was heartbroken because she loved this little vase. And then Des found another one just like it in a secondhand store somewhere and had the same kind of little spider in it that came in and out. And he bought it with a little spider in it and gave it to his wife. And it's like, God doesn't always do things like that, but I've seen God do things like that enough to know that he cares about the little things in life and that God prepares. Say, God prepares. God prepares. Yeah. He prepares a preacher. He prepares a city. Yeah. He prepares a whale. He prepares a storm. Yeah. He prepares a beach. He prepares a plant. He prepares a worm. He prepares a wind. Yeah. Eh? At any point, big or small. God is really into detail, and he really cares about each one of us. And you might look at your life and say, well, where was God in there? But you know, if I can encourage you this morning, that if you'll just take it to God and say, God, I need help here. He'll go before you. He'll prepare. He'll make a way. You young people, I know it's a big deal. Who am I going to marry? What am I going to do for a job? You know, the Bible says, your heavenly Father knows what you need. He knows your needs even before you ask, before you are aware of them, before you are aware of what you need. God knows what you need. See, no wonder he said to the disciples, oh ye of little faith. They didn't have any food. And God says, feed them. He says, with what? He says, oh ye of little faith. Haven't you seen me provide before? Haven't you seen me go before? You know, when they had the Last Supper, Jesus just didn't show up to a city and look for a room. He knew his heavenly Father had prepared something. So he says to his disciples, go into Jerusalem and look for a certain street or whatever. You'll see a man doing something, I can't remember. Or there'll be a mule there or something, and say, the master has need of it. And take the mule. That's the mule that's my transport that God has prepared for me while I'm in Jerusalem. And then the house where they would have the Last Supper. He says, go to da 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 da, and you'll find an upper room and say, the master, you know, needs to have his supper here. And God cares about you, and he cares about me in the same way. And I would encourage you to lean into God and don't live like an orphan. Don't live like a sparrow that God does not care about. Because he does. And do you know what I think? I think if we were to give him glory for every little event that happens in our life, it's like, I see God there. I see God there. I see God there. I see God there. And I see God there. You just might see him a bit more. Because when you give a testimony of thanksgiving, you know, you multiply that favor and grace and experiencing the goodness of God in your life. Let's pray. Father, you go before us. I'm convinced of that. I'm convinced that you prepare far more than we give you credit for. And when you said, don't worry, you literally meant there is nothing for us to worry about because you have gone before and you make preparations for us. You prepare. Father, right now we confess that you are our daddy God and you prepare. You prepare. Even the rest of this day is taken care of. The week is taken care of. Who I will marry, what job I will get, what my future holds, you have gone before me. The word says God seeks that which has passed by. Ecclesiastes is a much maligned book. There's actually some great wisdom in there. But God seeks that which has passed by. What does that mean? God is looking for something to happen that in his understanding has already happened. He's already seen it. I'd encourage you this week to look for where God has already been. And walk in it. Father, we love you that you just care for us so much. We accept and we believe your provision. And we worship you and we thank you for it now. Everyone said, amen.